I hope that God will do a great work for us, and I believe He's going to. He will if we'll let Him. I reminded one of our men in the church just recently. I said, I want you to remember that I preach that only you can keep you from having victory. And that no more rolled off of my lip till the Holy Ghost said, what's your problem, Egg Suck? I said, well, me, Lord, I'm the pastor. He said, yeah, I'm talking to you, Egg Suck. And that's right, isn't it? I'm finding out more all the time that we're all just about out of the same. I believe you'd check when they got the vessels for the temple, that they took and cast them out of the clay that was in Sukkoth. And I believe those vessels may, at that particular junction, may be a type of the Christian vessels in the house of God. And that's God's way of saying that He molded us all out of the clay of the ground. And at our greatest, at our best, we're still temporal. We're just clay. That's here for a little while, and then it's gone. And only what we've done for Christ is really all that's going to make any difference. Well, we're in a very, very familiar passage of Scripture tonight, Psalm 23. And I'll try to hurry through this the best I can. I don't have 3 points, but my problem is I've got a lot of sub-points. Psalm 23, and let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. I remember several years ago, a Mexican security guard there, really was one of the federales, looked me in my, as some preachers say, my God-given eyeballs and said, you're a Christian? I said, yes, sir. He said, quote Psalm 23. And he meant it. They were looking for phonies, people impersonating Christians crossing the border with drugs. And you'd be surprised at the way people get across the border, Mexico, with drugs and so forth. And they don't care. It wouldn't bother a thug at all to tell somebody he's a preacher or the folks is with him are church members. And even dress the dress and even talk the talk a little bit. If they thought it'd gain them a few $100,000 in drugs and narcotics, they'd just about do anything to get that money. All right, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's look to Him in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for prayer time. Thank You for the house of God. And thank You, Lord, for the people that make up the house of God. I'd ask You tonight to grace our hearts with Your presence. For it is Thee that we stand in need of. It's not a better plan or another policy, but it's the presence of Christ. Lord, I'm reminded of that year in Greenville when I sought the face of the Lord for Your companionship or for companionship in my exploits in the work of God, that Your reply was that Your presence would go with me. And I'm trusting You for that presence tonight to be manifest in this place. The need is beyond me. The help goes far beyond me. You're the only help that we have. Vain is the help of man. I pray that You'd touch and grace every heart. And Lord, that You'd bless us tonight as only God can. And we'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I've got a catchy title tonight, but the title, don't let it fool you, all right? It's the thought that God gave me to bring the message from, but I want to try to preach for a little while on God's sandwich of grace. I think we all like a sandwich every now and then, and some of us better than others, amen? But I want to try to preach on that thought for a little while, God's sandwich of grace. The Psalm 22, 23, and 24, they form a trinity of God's grace. They are inseparable to the child of God. You cannot separate them in your life and my life as a child of God. They have in view Christ and His redemption of His children. I'm glad that He gave us a panoramic view of His redemption. Aren't you glad that God has not left us in the dark? That God has not left us wondering how a soul can be justified and how a sinner can make his way from earth to glory? I'm glad that God has given us a Bible, and in that Bible He's given us a panoramic view of His redemptive plan. And I'm proud to say that that plan is in a person. I've heard people say, well, I want to take you down the Romans road or tell you about the plan of salvation. Well, I'm going to tell you the only plan I know is Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And in Psalm 22, we see there Christ on the cross. We find Him forsaken by God as the black cloud of sin separated Him from the Father. As one writer even said, He denied even Himself as He lovingly and willingly laid His life down in atonement for our sin. He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And the Bible went on very vividly to describe His one glorious body, that where His joints were all had been poured out like water, how the roof, His tongue clave to the roof of His mouth, bulls of Bashan compassed Him about, and men on every hand mocked Him. And yet He had the power of God any time to come down off of the cross, but by the grace of God and His love for you and I, the Bible said that He hanged up on the cross, drank the last bitter drag of every sin for fallen humanity, and yielded His life to the will of God and died the death, my friend, of not only a sinner, but a thief as well, giving His life in atonement for sin. I'm glad that Psalm 22 is a very vivid picture of Christ on the cross. You ought to study that Psalm and let it break your heart. Let the tears run down your cheeks as you see the pain and the agony and the suffering that our Lord endured that you and I might be saved from sin. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a wonderful thought, that He tasted death for every man. Now, I'm telling you, it wasn't just an outward pain and suffering, but the Bible said that when God the Father saw the travail of His soul, it was then that He was satisfied. Now I'm telling you, we cannot comprehend the travail of the soul of the Son of God, who was 100% God, and yet He was made to be sin for you and I. Now, Psalm 22 is a picture of Christ on the cross. But in chapter number 24, we see Christ and His coming. In Psalm 24, at least four times, He is referred to as the King of Glory. It is during that time that He will show who is the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm glad He is the King of Glory. Now, I'm going to tell you, we make light of what that old black preacher said, open them doors and open them wide, and let them sinners come inside. But I'm going to tell you what Psalm 24 said.
He said, open those everlasting doors and the King of glory shall come in. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll open tonight the doors of your heart, the King of glory shall come in and dwell with you and sup with you and you with Him. I'm telling you, that is a wonder of wonder that God was made flesh, dwelt among men in bodily form, died on the cross as a sacrifice, went back to the Father, and descended back in the person of the Holy Ghost, and He dwells in the bosom of every born-again child of God today. Wonder of wonders. But I tell you, sandwiched right between these two is the great psalm, the psalm number 23. Psalm 22, we see Christ on the cross. Psalm 24, we find Christ and His coming. But it's in Psalm 23 that we see the life of Christ and His children. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. It is right there between the cross and the coming that we find the Lord and how He loves, leads, guides, and directs His children. In other words, my friend, I am preserved from the cross to the crown. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that my life is secure in Him. All the way from the cross to His coming, I'm glad that I'm in Christ tonight. Bless your heart. Amen. Let the Armenians say what they want to say. Let the infidels mock. And let the unbelievers go their way. But I'm glad, thank God, tonight that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And that He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That He leadeth me beside the still waters. That He restoreth my soul. And He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And my cup runs over. Hallelujah to God. And surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What a life. Christ and His children. The shepherd and His flock. God and His people. Between the cross and the crown is the life story of Christ and His church. And it's designed like a sandwich of grace for the glory of God. There we are. His little old sheep laying between two pieces of bread. Now, I didn't intend to say that, but I'll say it. Somebody said, you're a fool. No, he said, I am the bread of life. Amen. Praise God, there's the cross. He's the bread of life. And at the coming, He's the bread of life. And guess what? There's His children, my friend, sandwiched between the bread of life. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Just about make a dead Baptist get happy. I know it would a dead Methodist. Amen. Make them get happy. Dead Pentecostals get right too. I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks that open up their heart, it'd get them saved whether they Baptist, Methodist, or Pentecostal or Presbyterian. To realize that our life is sandwiched, my friend, between the cross and the crown. There is grace from the cross to the crown for every child of God. Amen. I'm pretty happy tonight. Amen to God. I want to say a few things before I get into the message. I want you to notice at least three things by way of introduction. I want you to notice, first of all, the nearness of the Lord. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to tell you what, friend. I've never seen a shepherd yet that got too far from the flock. Oh, how near and how dear Christ is to every one of us. I can prove it to you by the text. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, Brother David? For Thou art with me, and Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I'm glad. Thank God that He's nearer to us tonight than most of us ever dreamed that He would be. You got the idea that He'll desert the flock. You're dumber than a box of rocks, friend. Somebody said, I can't feel Him. Look up on the mountaintop. Look up on the grassy mountain, upon the hills that surround you if you're in the valley. And I'll guarantee you that you'll see the shepherd with an all-seeing eye as He watches over His flock. Look in the night season. He lays in the door of the sheepfold. Look at Him early in the morning as He leads us out and brings us in. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, and He's always near to my soul. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, I felt Him all day long, and I'm feeling a touch of Him down in my soul tonight. Glory to God. Amen. That's right. Amen. The nearness of the Lord. Notice not only His nearness, but the name that is ascribed to Him. It's not John Doe. It's not the Lord is John Doe. The Lord, the name that our Lord takes. The Lord is my shepherd. Praise, bless your little heart. Son, you can get a hold of that. He's your keeper. He is in charge of you. He watches over you. He feeds you. He blesses you. He sleeps with you. Amen to God. He never leaves you. And at night, you can hear Him on the hill playing the sweet songs upon the harp of love as He ministers to our soul and causes us to lay down in grassy green pastures beside still waters in tranquility and rest for our soul. Amen. Said, the Lord is my shepherd, the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, He giveth His life for the sheep. As the great shepherd, He rose from the dead to care for the sheep. Bless His wonderful name. Do you think that if He died and rose, that He might watch over us, that He'll let one hair of the head perish? Nay, my beloved, as Harold Sotler'd say, let it be far from you, my friend. But even the very hairs of our head are numbered. I'm here to tell you, friend, the devil might be on a rampage. We may be living in dark days and perilous times, but the Lord is still my shepherd. And son, He watches. He watches over us. If He watches the sparrows and feeds the sparrows, I'm telling you, friend, He'll also watch over you and I and feed. Take care of you and I. Hallelujah to God. He'll throw us a crumb off the table every now and then. Somebody said, we're Gentile dogs. Yeah, but the dogs eat a crumb every now and then from the master's table. Hallelujah to God. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Now I'm telling you, as the chief shepherd, He is coming to crown and reward His sheep. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad, Miss Sue, that He's coming again. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. He's not sending Gabriel. He's not sending Michael. He's not sending one of the other archangels. But the Lord Himself. And I want to remind you, the Lord is my shepherd. And you know why He's a-coming? He's a-coming to gather His children home. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad there's one shepherd and there's three folds. And He's coming to gather us all into one fold. Amen. You get a hold of that tonight. When the saints are gathering in, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Hallelujah to God. There's coming a day when He'll gather us together, my friend, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings. And son, we'll find eternal safety and comfort for all time and eternity. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice the nature of the psalm. The makeup of it. What is the psalm about? I've already been trying to tell you. But the nature of the psalm has to deal with the relationship of Christ to His people. The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not work. I shall not walk. But I ain't going to work a whole lot either. I'll just be quite honest about it. Amen. Neither some of the rest of you. So don't sit out there and laugh at me. Bless your heart. Amen to God. I saw a bumper sticker come back from the doctor's office the other day. It said, work nothing, let's go four-wheeling. I ain't got no four-wheeler. But work nothing, let's go preaching a little while. Let's carry the gospel a little while. Let's sow that seed a little while. Let's get out into the field a little while. Let's work in the harvest a little while if we're going to work. Let's work for God a little while. Amen. Thanks be unto God. Then it deals with the watch care of Christ for His people. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. All through it, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All dealing with His watch care. Aren't you glad that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, beholding the good and the evil? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, beholding His people. He keeps an all-seeing eye on us. It doesn't make any difference whether it's the midnight of time. It doesn't make any difference whether it's sundown, sun up, or midday. Son, His all-seeing eye. You're never out of His sight. Can you get a hold of that tonight? He even knows your thoughts afar off. And He sees you even right now. That's how near He is. He even sees you right now. And His watch care. He's not going to let you starve to death. He's not going to let you perish. No, He's not going to let you perish. Absolutely not. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. Why, Brother Hall? Because the Lord is my shepherd and is watching over you and I tonight. Hallelujah. I want to say it also, the nature deals with the work of Christ in His people. He's working in us. He is working in us. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then also the purpose of Christ toward His sheep, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is His ultimate goal. That is His purpose in life. Aren't you glad, thank God, that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Now I've got 3 points and we're going to the house. I want to mention the shepherd's love for His sheep, the shepherd's leadership for His sheep, and the shepherd's light that He gives to His sheep that I find in this text. Notice with me the shepherd's love for His sheep. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." I want to say that it is a personal love. David didn't say the Lord is somebody else's shepherd. The Lord is Brother Hall's shepherd. The Lord is Brother Smith. Oh, no. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I'm glad, thank God, that He loved me personally just like I am. He loves me just as I am without one plea. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. And I'm telling you, He loves me like I am. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, how can that be? He made me. I am what I am by the grace of God. And He loves me. I'm glad. Thank God that He doesn't just love wholesale numbers. I'm glad that He loves me personally." Now, I didn't notice this till I got done. But the first person pronoun, me, mine, I, is used 17 times in Psalms 23. Anybody remember what the number 17 is the number of? I just told you Sunday. Finality, completion, and judgment. The Lord is my shepherd. And Son, He will complete everything. Dealing with me as one of His children. You better believe it, Son. And when He does a work, it's final. What God has done, no man can add to it. No man can take away from it. What God does, Ecclesiastes said, shall be done forever. And I'm telling you, let the Armenians rage. Let the General Baptists have a spasm. Let the Pentecostals revelate in 1,000 tongues. It makes no difference to me, friend. Let the Episcopalians drink their wine and the Baptist briders drink their wine. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm eternally safe in the everlasting arms of God. He has regenerated me. My soul has been regenerated by the power of the Lamb. And I'm promised redemption of my body. Someday, son, He's going to complete the work of grace that He started upon me. From the cross to the crown, bless your heart. He's going to do that work. And there's coming a crowning day when He'll redeem my body from the dust. Amen. Now, I want to say this to some of you. It's a personal love, friend. The Lord is my shepherd. You're going to have to realize God loves you. God loves you. And you're going to have to establish a personal relationship with Christ. Folks, you're not going to be able to live a spiritual life on my relationship to God or somebody else's relationship to God. Miss Hall can't even live a spiritual life on my relationship to God. And I'm telling you, there's no closer relationship on earth than a man to his wife. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, she's got to get her own relationship. Now, thank God, God loves my home and God loves my marriage. And God loves me individually. But God loves Sister Hall individually too. Now, I'm telling some of you ladies in here that God loves you individually. Just like you are. Amen to God. And you men, God loves you individually. Just like you are. And we'll spend all of our life trying to make ourselves something that we can't. Trying to please God. Now, I'm not against your diet. And I'm not against your health food. And I'm not against all that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. That ain't going to make God love you one whit better, neighbor.
Right. Amen.
Not a bit better. Amen. Everything received by thanksgiving and prayer is sanctified in the mind of God.
Yep.
Woo! Somebody said, I'll walk and exercise, and bodily exercise profiteth little. But I'm going to tell you what'll profit you. Getting in a King James 1611 Bible, son, and drawing nigh to God, and let God draw nigh to you. And learning that He loves you like you are. Amen. Amen. Now, as a personal love, I can't dwell long on these. I already spent longer than I wanted to. In a personal love, He provides rest. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to do what? Lie down in green pastures. Not old stubble fields, not old saw briars, green pastures. I'll never forget that woman up there in Vincennes that time. She said, you need to eat barley green. I said, why? She said, the green keep you clean. I said, praise God, lady, I'm already clean. She said, not from looking in your eye. I said, you don't understand. The Lord is my shepherd and He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Son, I've been eating green grass for a long time. And amen, I tell you, it's kept me pretty clean. I'm not what I'd like to be, but I'll tell you, I'm not what I used to be either. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Thank God. He provides rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that's wonderful. Amen to God. That we have found a resting place. My soul has found a resting place, not in device or creed. Aren't you glad of that? Now I'm going to tell you, when the storms around you are howling and the wolves are carrying on, you can just lay your head down on that pillow and rest in the everlasting arms of God. Oh, let the storms rage. You can either lay down in the ship and rest. Somebody might want to be a Peter and say, Lord, if it's you, get me to come on the water to you. Amen to God. I'm telling you, they's rest in the boat and they's rest on the waves as long as He gives us the okay. Amen. I've got to hurry. I've got to hurry. In a personal love, He provides rest. He not only provides rest, but He provides restoration.
He restoreth my soul. You know what that word restoreth means? Turn to turn back. He restoreth my soul. You know little sheep prone to wander? They're prone to stray. Sometimes the grass always looks green. Ain't it odd how the grass always looks greener on the other side? I'm going to tell you, sweetheart, I believe we'd be better off. We'd take our family and our youngest and run up to old brother so-and-so church. I believe the grass is a little greener up there. I want to say to you tonight, in love and mercy, if you know a field, son, where a pastor's got her greener than I have, get out and go, bless your heart. Vacate the premises and get out and go. But I tell you, when you get there, you'll find that the grass ain't a bit greener there than it is anywhere else.
Amen.
I've been in most Baptist churches in our area, and most of them is drier than last year's bird's nest and deader than 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, I've heard every preacher within 200 miles of here. Now, I don't know any. I had one to tell me the other night. He said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong in the Baptist churches. And when he got done naming the reasons, in my heart, I wanted to say, well, then what's your problem? Well, I don't know any of them, Brother George, that's got her a lick better, buddy. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you something, little sheep. You better bloom where you planted. Better graze in the pasture where God's put you.
Amen.
Stay right at home. You won't find it no better there.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why most folks think the pasture's greener somewhere else. They think the pastor's got a better personality and they get along good with them. Or the pastor's wife's got a good personality. They get along good with her. I'm going to tell you something, sir, ma'am. They have not pastored you yet. Son, it is a different story when you go to pastoring somebody than what it is when you're a friend to a pastor and a pastor's wife. Big difference. Can't be no favorites. Not unless you want to be a harlot. Now, I'm telling you, the minute you start playing favorites, somebody will hold the proverbial hammer over your head, buddy. I'm not playing favorites. Ask Steve Pleasant if I ever played a favorites with him. I don't mind telling you, we preached through the book of Psalms about 99% of the time when he sat back here in Sunday school, I was a preaching to him.
Amen.
Somebody said, why? Because God knew what he wanted to do with him.
Amen.
God knew he had to be right. God knew he had to be straight. God knew he needed preaching.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I've had folks to fall out with me when I preached directly to them.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what you better thank God that the preacher will preach to you.
Amen.
That's a good idea that God's still trying to arrest your heart. I'm going to tell you when the problem comes in, it's when God's man let you alone. Son, that means that God has let you alone. And if God let you alone, you're in trouble. So it would behoove us to get right while the shepherd is near.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll turn us back. If you're his, he ain't going to let you stray far. And you can stray sitting on the pew. People get bent out of joint sitting right on the pews of churches. And just because they come to church, they think everything's all right. Get bitter sitting on the church pew and think everything's all right. Well, I'm in church. Get dead, cold, and dry sitting on the church pew and think they're all right. Well, they ain't find fault with everybody out there. See no problem with themselves. They ain't got enough sense to realize they're in worse shape than most of them out there. I'm going to tell you something. Heard the man of God last night. And I preached this. I made this statement at Sammy Allen's. I said, we better lay off a Southern Baptist till we clean up our own back door. Now, I heard the man of God say last night, he said, there used to be a time when you said, I'm an independent Baptist. He said, that meant something. He said, it don't mean a hill of beans anymore. He said, I know independent Baptists that preach out of the NIV, the NKJV, and all them other, and they're independent Baptists.
Don't tell, don't brag about being an independent Baptist son. God turned over a pile of cow manure and brought independent Baptists out from under it. Now I'm going to tell you, he can turn the same pile over and bury us in it. Turn over a mother and bring somebody else out of it.
Amen.
If you think the independent Baptist got a lock on God, you're dumber than a box of rocks.
Amen.
It's not independent Baptist got a lock on God. It's the people of God.
Yes.
John Wesley weren't no independent Baptist. The Moravians that had the Moravian revival in Germany was far from being independent Baptist. But they had God on them.
Amen.
Welsh revival was far from being an independent Baptist, but they had revival. As far as I know, the independent Baptist movement has never had revival. And we're bus them in, soul win them in. That's right, dollar bill them in, hot dog them in, bingo them in, family life center them in, any way to get them in. Amen. I got a thing back there Brother George brought in from this church over in Clay's Mill over in Lexington that we put off the radio station, bringing Mr. Millionaire in. They're bringing in Mr. and Dr. Anderson that helped start Hiles Anderson College. And you know what one of the paragraphs says? This great man of God loved souls so much that he paid men to go out and win souls of God. I'm going to tell you what, a man that would pay somebody to win God and a man that would take money to win God, they both ought to be in hell with their necks broken. You can tell them I said so. Son, you don't pay me to win souls, and you don't pay me to preach. You pay me to preach your weddings, visit you in the hospital, and bury your dead, but you don't pay me to preach. You don't pay me to be a Christian.
Well,
it's got a little difference tonight than it was Sunday night, ain't it, ladies and gentlemen? Huh? I'm going to say, His personal love, He provides rest, He provides restoration, and He provides righteousness. Notice again, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And Brother Smith, that word righteousness means everything that is just.
Amen.
Now that's where God will lead you. He'll never lead you into sin. Somebody said, well, I believe God gave me liberty to get my television back. Come on in the house, children. God ain't never give you liberty to get your TV back. I read a little article in the paper over today, just saw the headlines of it. Said movie drive-in theaters on the upswing in America. Several of them being brought back in, even in Kentucky. When I said one guy was getting ready to show a film called Three Men in Black. I don't know, have no earthly idea what it's about. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you start entertaining the thought that entertainment in Hollywood's all right, God ain't led you that way. Young man, God has not led you to abandon the church and take up hobnobbing with every little heifer you can get in your vehicle.
Right.
Young lady, God has not led you to leave the house of God just to find you a boy. No!
Amen.
Old Brother Steve there come to church, so did that one right there. For no other reason than to find a good Christian girl. And they both found more than they bargained for when they got there.
Amen.
Amen! They got a girl, but they didn't know a guy went along with a package. Woo!
Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know that crowd there went along with it either. Amen. Hallelujah. I guess that'll be all right. I want to say, as shepherd's love, and I've got to hurry. I mean, I've got to hurry. It's personal love. But I see, secondly, not only is it a personal love, it's a providing love. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Get this now. He provides diet, and He provides drink for us. Now, somebody said, where do you get the diet? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Did you ever see a man that didn't lay down after he eat? These sheep, my friend, he maketh me to lie down. Where? In green pastures. They're laying down because they got their belly full. I'm telling you, you come to the house of God. Oh, I've been a praying, son. We need to power the presence of God in this place. I'm going to tell you why. If you get your belly full of green grass, you'll go home, lay down, rest, sleep like a baby. Amen to God. I'll guarantee you won't have to, you won't have all the anxieties and the worries and the troubles that invade your mind if you just fill up your belly on the green grass of the Word of God. God will let you lay down and then get you a good drink. He leads me beside still waters. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. I want to say thirdly, it's a peaceful love. Providing love, personal love, peaceful love. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Tranquil and peaceful. Then I want to say secondly, not only the shepherd's love for the sheep, but the shepherd's leadership of the sheep. Huh? Anywhere? Hey, He's been there before you and I ever get there. God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. God leads His dear children along. Somebody said, oh, I've heard some of these preachers in here say, oh, I don't know. I worry about where God will lead me if I surrender to preach. You'll find Him there when you get there. He ain't going to lead you somewhere into the dark and abandon you and leave you. And neither is you folks that are church members. No, sir. Find Him. Feel for Him. Look for Him. He's around. He's close tonight. He's close by some of you. I want to say, now come on now. Let me finish. Help me. His leadership of His sheep. He leads us into satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. There's the leadership. I shall not want. And there's the satisfaction. And in verse number 5, He said, my cup runneth over. What satisfaction. Aren't you satisfied? And son, I don't have to look nowhere else to be satisfied. Old brother Willis said last night, he said, I'm not against fishing, I'm not against hunting, but he said, I want to preach. Son, let me preach. Hallelujah to God. God's called me to preach. I enjoy hunting a little bit, don't care much about fishing, but you can take the hunting and the fishing and have all of it. If I have to take a choice, it's God all the way, buddy. Amen to God. He satisfies my soul. Amen. I gotta drink a well water rag, man. Amen to God.
Amen.
What are you doing sleeping on the preacher, boy? Wake up. Amen to God. I want to ask you something, Nutter. Are you satisfied with life? Have you found your well? Have you found your niche? Have you found what makes your wheels turn? Have you found the cog that turns the wheels in your heart? If you found Jesus, you have. You better believe you have. He leads into satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Hallelujah to God. Why should I walk? He's given me, Brother Jerry, about everything in life that I've... In fact, He has given me everything in life that I ever wanted. In fact, I was praying over night and I said, Lord, I don't understand why You blessed me the way You have. Why You've given me more than I ever dreamed of in life. But I'm going to tell you something. I look back over at Miss Cheryl and I realize that I was well satisfied before I ever had that stuff. And the problem with a lot of folks, while they can't ever have anything, they're not satisfied with what they got now.
Yes, sir.
You get satisfied with what you got now, God may bless you with a little more.
Amen.
I won't say I'm satisfied with my wife.
Amen.
I'm really satisfied with my church. I ain't put out no feelers. Amen. Ain't sent out a resume.
Amen.
Not interested in going nowhere. By the grace of God, I'm over. You know, hey, I was talking in there on the supper time hour tonight, and I said, Lord, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? I was a praying or talking to folks, really. Well, I was a preacher. I said, if I had my brothers, I'd like to be right there preaching in that pulpit when the trumpet sounds. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be there preaching when the trumpet sounds and this crowd lift out of this place together? I thought, buddy, you talking about jubilation. Now, brother, we're talking about jubilation like that. You talking about jubilation on the hill of the glory. Can you see this blood-bought crowd in here tonight? joined hand in hand, shouting on the clouds of glory, dancing around the Lord and praying in His wonderful name for what He's done for us.
I've heard preachers say, well, I want victory over the grave. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think somehow, some way, the Lord's going to work that out to where we'll have victory over the grave. Whether we come out of it or go from above ground. Now, I'm just going to be quite honest with you. If it's left up to me, I'd just soon go above ground. I want to say not only leads in satisfaction, but He leads into sanctification. Thou anointest my head with oil. You've sanctified me by the Holy Ghost. Get this now. That, and this is horology. That which has been anointed with oil has been made divinely holy. He leadeth in paths of righteousness. Hallelujah to God. I'm not only separated, I'm sanctified. I don't see the world anywhere in Psalm 23. But I do see sanctification and holiness. I'm glad He leads us into a holy life. I want to say thirdly, in His leadership, He... Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll set it home on Tuesday night. I'll set it home on Sunday night. I'll set it home and have... Television Church. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to put it this way. He leads into the sanctuary. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If He has to drive you to church now, you ain't going to that sanctuary. If you have to be made, if coming to church is a drudgery to you, if you can't tolerate coming to God's house, son, you ain't going to dwell in that house forever. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't have a problem coming to church. I'm going to tell you what, I don't like it when it's like it was Sunday night. I left here distressed in my soul, my mind made up. I'm doing something about that. Bless God if it kills me and you both. I said, Lord, we got to roll up our sleeves and have an old knockdown, drag out Baptist fight. We're going to have it. But I'm telling you, we're getting God in this place, neighbor. One way or the other way. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I love every one of you, but those of you that have no desire to cross Jordan River, stay in the wilderness and die there. I'm going to take the rest of this little crowd and go on for God. And I'm going to tell you, there's some of you in here I used to worry about. I love you and I hate to say this, but don't worry about you no more. I've done all I can do for some of you, buddy. You ain't listening to God. You don't want to listen to God, you ain't going to listen to God. There ain't but one alternative. I'm going to tell you what God says. I'm going to tell you what God says. He said, Thy hand shall reveal or make known your enemy. Thy right hand shall reveal every enemy. You know what He's saying? Your hands, the work. The work of the Holy Ghost, the right hand, and the power of God. The work of God and the power of God is going to make known every enemy of God in this church. Somebody said, preacher, I don't like that. I don't either. I'll just be quite honest with you. But I'd hate to be sitting here and be a rebel. You think it was rough the night the lights went out in Dixie, son? You wait till God cuts out the light in your soul. You're going to see how rough it is. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, I'm telling you, God can cut you off in a minute. And God has been lenient. God has been loving. God has been gracious. God has been good. God has been kind. We listen to the message that old brother Aubrey Brown preached right here in January. Listened to it last night coming back from that meeting. And I'm telling you what, I got tickled in my heart in that car coming home, and I could just see old brother Brown. I could see old brother Brown. Glory to God. I can't stand no more. Ooh, I got to get out of here. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said. if he had preached that message 2 or 3 years ago, we'd have torn the wallpaper off the walls. But I'm telling you, it don't bother some of you no more. It doesn't affect you no more. Now I'm going to tell you, grace still bubbles up in my heart. Oh, and I can't help myself right now. You just have to bear with me. But I'm telling you, son, when I feel the good grace and love of God and know that I'm sandwiched between the cross and the covenant, and God loves me. I can't hardly contain it. I heard Jerome over there. Heard Brother Doug a time or two. Heard myself a time or two. I hardly heard another peep except the faint cry of a child. And I thought, how sad. I said, and the thing of it was, he wasn't just preaching now, basically like I'm doing, but the Holy Ghost had got so good in his soul that he couldn't hardly, he said, oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And it didn't faze us. But I'm going to tell you something. He restored my soul. Son, God can turn us back. It'll be one of these days before long, you wait and see if we ain't climbing the walls and swinging from these ceiling fans. Some of you women ain't crying like you used to and got your hands up in the air. I'm going to tell you what. Sister Hall's going down there and preach on cheerleading. You love me, don't you? Don't tell them girls down there they better get behind the man of God and the man of God's wife. Cheer them on. Heal thyself, physician. I'm out of here, boys. See y'all next week, son. I'm gone. You women remember how it was back then? You men remember how it used to be out here? I'm telling you, Jerry Robard run 105 laps in here one morning. Brother Leroy back there said, Jerry, you run 105 laps. Jerry said, I did not. Leroy said, I know you did. I counted them. Can God! I'm telling you, God can! God can! Can God revive you and I out of the foundation, out of the heaps? God can! God can! God can! Can God build again on the foundation? God can! God can! God can! Can God stir His children again as an eagle stirs her nest? God can! God can! God can! I'm telling you, can God spread a table in the wilderness? God can! For He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Woo! Got one out in the aisle.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm going to close with this. The shepherd's light given to his sheep. He said he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leadeth me in the path. In the path of righteousness. Notice that word path is in plural. Path of righteousness. That is, He gives us light. One path into righteousness, and then He gives more light and leads us into more righteousness, more light and leads us into more righteousness, more light and leads us into more righteousness, and just keeps on leading us into righteousness. Are you listening to me? Help yourself, Brother Jerry. Into paths of righteousness. Get this now. Hey, He leads us in paths of light to live by. You know, He'll give you righteousness you can live by. John 12:35. Then Jesus saith unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light. But darkness lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Hear what he said? He said, you walk in light. You better walk in light, lest darkness come upon you. Can you get a hold of that, what he's saying? Then if you don't walk in the light God gives you, darkness will overtake you. And remember that house that fell in the Bible said, great was the fall of it? Great will be that darkness. Exceeding darkness. Beyond the comprehending. He that walketh in darkness falleth. Stumbleth. Falleth. I'm glad that He gives us light to live by. I want to say, secondly, He gives us light to labor by. Let me ask you, when was the last time you done something for God? John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Brother Doug, this last one is the one I like more than any of the three. And I'm going to tell you, here's what the Holy Ghost has told me. Light to look by. Now somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, no. He prepareth a table before me. Where is that table prepared, Miss Sharon? In the presence of my enemies. You mean to tell me God spreads a table before me in the presence of my enemies? There they are out there looking on. Now here's what God told me. They're out there looking on. And you know what we're doing? We're laying down there on that table of green grass. Here's what he says. He will. This, in essence, is what he's saying. He will bless our souls while our enemies look on, and let us stand there and look them in the eye with assurance that there is nothing they can do about it. That crowd that will really oppose you someday over there, I'm talking about, there'll be another and another and another and another and another. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can just lay there on that table. How y'all doing? I don't know what y'all going to do today. I'm going to wrap one out here in just a minute. I'm going to tell you what God told me today. He said, son, He said, don't let the trouble that they're having bog you down. Love them, but don't let them grieve you to where you can't have God on you. Can I say this to you in honesty? I say this in honesty. I wouldn't be at all surprised if I ain't been part of the problem in this church. And you know why? Because I've let you become my problem, some of you. I have let worrying about you and wondering about you and worrying about you and didn't want to offend you because I love you, didn't want to make you angry at me, wanted to keep friends with you, and I have personally failed to get God on me where I could preach to you with power and without worry of how you felt. I've never done that in my ministry until the last while in this church. I ain't doing it no more. I love you. And if what I preach offends you, like Larry Rain said Sunday, the door's out yonder. I love you. And I've made this statement a whole lot. I'd rather have a church with 25 and have the power and the presence of God than have 100 and not have God in it. I'm not going to worry about it no more. Give you gray hair and ulcers. I'm just going to get God on me and preach. Worship and have a time in God. God, sandwich of grace. Right between the cross and the kind. It's the grace of God. Son, I tell you, there's meat on that sandwich. Lettuce.
mayo, mustard, whatever you want to smear on it, buddy. There's a whip, amen. Jalapenos. Habanero. Eat her up, man. Eat her up. Hey, that's our life. The Lord is my shepherd from the cross to the crown. Let's stand together.